wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that I had some issues with my microphone while recording this episode that I actually did not know about until after I had recorded it. So I hope you'll lean into the teaching and know that even though I strive to be a perfectionist, I'm not actually perfect. I know, we're all gloriously human, right? Anyways, I hope it doesn't impact your listening and look forward to hearing your comments and feedback. Hey friends, welcome back to Scripture Ventures, where we seek the wisdom of God like silver and search for it like hidden treasure. And hey, if we haven't officially met, I'm Stacy and I'll be your host today. I think today is really going to be a podcast episode that will bring you a little bit of what you might be looking for in this holiday season, especially if you're someone like me. I'm looking back at a teaching I did back in, I think it was 2022, and I'm hoping that this teaching will help you and I find restoration during the holiday season. So I want to invite you right now to go grab your favorite beverage, get your Bible, find a quiet spot, something you maybe take notes with, and really lean into this teaching. Now, if you're some of my listeners that are driving or maybe exercising, I know that might not quite fit for you. So just lean in and listen as you do your thing also. All right, let's get started. So before we get into scripture today, before we even open up our Bibles, I really want to name something that I feel many of us are living with, but maybe we rarely slow down enough to admit it. And that's that we're tired. And not just end of the day tired, but like a deep down in your bones tired. I often say that I feel like I was a vacuum cleaner that got too far away from the plug, and then all of a sudden, there was no more power anymore. That's the tired we're talking about. Total burnout. Totally fatigued, no energy left. And as we open up today, I want to share some data that backs this up. When I was doing some research to prepare for this episode, I actually found what it had to share alarming, even though I knew deep down that it existed, if that makes sense. The American Psychological Association shared that 75% of adults reported experiencing stress levels that impact their physical health, their emotional well-being, or both. 75% of adults. The CDC reported that persistent fatigue was shown across all demographics. That means not just working men or women, not just stay-at-home moms or caregivers, not just retirees, but that their reports often showed that even children were experiencing persistent fatigue. And that is so alarming to me. The study showed that a majority of women reported feeling both emotionally and spiritually depleted. Y'all, that is not okay. Men reported increasing burnout tied to pressure, responsibility, and even isolation. Children and teens, this is where it gets sad. It just blows my mind when I think about this. They are experiencing record levels of stress and anxiety, and often reported absorbing the emotional load of the adults around them. This is not okay, but it does reveal to us that burnout is real and it is a human issue. The holidays, while they can be beautiful and magical and all the things, they often magnify the burnout, don't they? I mean, think about it. We end up burning the candle at both ends, more so than we normally would on a typical day or season. It's like everyone's running around like chickens with their heads cut off. I mean, just spend a few moments in your car during the holidays and try to make it to town, and you'll experience that chicken with your head and heads cut off moment, right? It's like all of a sudden we decide we want all the things that we see in the Hallmark movies, and we start decking the halls, if you will, making sure our houses are picture perfect and magazine worthy. We're buying all the things and wrapping all the gifts. We're hosting and attending parties. We're managing all these expectations while holding our families together and smiling through a to-do list that's longer than, say, maybe a CVS receipt. I can't think of anything that's much longer than that. And along the way, I think if we were to actually pause, we would hear somewhere in the middle of all that hustle that Jesus, our Messiah, is gently whispering, "Come sit with me." Think about these questions as we get ready to dive into the teaching today. Where do you feel the most tired right now? Is it physically, maybe emotionally, or even spiritually? And what signs of burnout or exhaustion have you noticed in yourself recently? I think it serves us well to actually ask that question. You know, what signs of burnout or exhaustion am I noticing? And how has the pace of this holiday season that we're in affected your ability to slow down and be present with God? These questions are important regardless of the season, regardless of the teaching, but they're setting the stage for what we're about to discuss today. So I want you to sit with that for just a minute, even if you need to press pause on this podcast to think about that. So when we consider burnout and exhaustion and being tired, that's often linked to rest. And so today, that's what we're going to be talking about. And I know it's kind of countercultural to talk about during the holidays, but we are. We're going to pause the to-do list for just a few minutes, and we're going to talk about holy rest. I'm not talking about checking out. You're not quitting. You're not taking a nap. You're not even just getting a good night's sleep, right? What we're actually talking about today is what I like to call holy rest. And the words that I associate with that are often words like Sabbath, restoration, or the filling of your cup. And I think as women especially, but I'm sure men do this too after having some conversations with my husband, rest isn't weakness. It's actually worship. And we're going to dive into that a little bit today in our teaching. And I want it to help us see more clearly that rest is worship. So we're going to sit with some familiar passages. The one that we're really going to be looking at is where Jesus sat with the woman at the well in John 4. But I'm going to challenge you to look at the story through a different lens. I think so often we focus on how we relate to the Samaritan woman. And probably rightly so, right? But as I studied this passage back in 2022, and then again now, God showed me something totally unexpected. We actually have a lot in common with Jesus when we look at him in this story. When you hear the word rest, what emotions come up for you? Do you see rest as a luxury, a reward, or maybe even a gift from God? Or are you someone that's sometimes like I am and views rest as lazy or something connected with guilt even? And what might it look like for you to approach rest as worship, not just in this season, but in the new year as well? All right, so let's dive into John 4. If you have your Bibles or your app, go ahead and head over to John 4. If you're somebody that can't access the Bible right now, that's okay. You can always go back and look at it later. And I want to challenge all of you to do that. Go back and read John chapter 4. Read it in different translations. I like to pull it up on my iPad or even sometimes on my Mac and pull the Bible up and have it paralleled where I can read it in two translations at the same time. I feel like that helps me get a better understanding of the context, of the language, of the culture, of the norms, of everything that was going on. And I feel like it helps me understand their stories better. But for sake of time and to actually make sure that those of you that can't access your Bible can follow along in the teaching later, I'm kind of going to give you my summary of this familiar story that's taking place here in John 4. And so this is where Jesus is traveling through Samaria, and he stops at what's known as Jacob's Well. And John tells us that it's around midday when he is at this well, and he asks a woman who is there for a drink. Now, all of that alone right now should be shocking, right? Because we know that Jesus is there at the hottest point of the day. And we know that Jews didn't associate with Samaritans. Men, especially rabbis, didn't publicly speak with women like this. And it's hot, y'all. It is super hot at this time of day. So none of this was the norm. But again, in true Jesus fashion, he's not concerned with social rules. He's not concerned with the norm. He's always focused on the heart, and he's always focused on the will of the Father. So he begins talking to her after they have this little discussion, and he asks her for a drink of water, and she starts talking to him, and he's talking to her, and it goes back and forth, and he starts bringing up living water. And he explains to her that while physical water satisfies only temporary, the water that Jesus offers leads to eternal life. And I can relate to this woman. She's very confused when Jesus starts talking. She starts bringing up all the facts that she knows about Jacob's well and about the culture at the time and all this stuff. And she's thinking practically, right? She's thinking of this physical water. And then here's Jesus. He leans in. He gently reveals, hey, I know you. You may not know me. You know of me. And we've never met before, but I'm going to share some stuff about your past to show you that I know you, and the water I'm talking about is nothing that you've ever known before. And he does. And scripture tells us that this was a sinful woman and an immoral woman because of her past and the relationships in her past, right? But what Jesus does is instead of condemning her, he actually offers her a hope and leans in. He explains that this true worship is never about your status or your heritage. It's not even about your location or even religious systems. Worshiping God is through your spirit. It's through your faith, through this truth system, right? And that's when he begins to reveal to her that he is the Messiah. And it's one of the clearest declarations of his identity in all of the gospel. And y'all, it was revealed to a woman in one of the longest recorded conversations in the Bible. And I love this because she reminds me of my sister Martha. I love Martha in the Bible. She's amazing. And again, experience this type of encounter with Jesus. What these two ladies reveal to me is people will never be able to see what Jesus sees in you. And I think we have to cling to that. That, of course, is a teaching for another podcast. But after their conversation, the woman leaves the water jar behind. The very thing she came to the well to fill. She leaves it behind. She runs back to her town and she tells everyone about Jesus. And because of her testimony, scripture tells us that many came to believe. And that's the story that we're stepping into today. That's where our teaching is rooted. So I want to ask you before we go on to the next point is what stands out to you the most in this encounter between Jesus and the woman? All right, so we have our overview now, and I want to actually look at a few pieces of this passage with you. We're going to start in verse 6, where John shared those key details I told you to pay attention to. And the verse says, Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. And some translations will actually tell you it was about noon. So scripture is telling us something really important about the Messiah right here before it even gets into his teaching. Listen to how the different translations describe what Jesus was feeling. Wearied as he was from his journey, worn out by the trip, tired as he was, and one translation says exhausted from the journey. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. Jesus, who was fully God and fully human, was tired. Remember what we talked about at the beginning? Worn out, exhausted, tired. And I'm sure you've been there. I know I've been there. I think I might even be there right now. Jesus knows what it feels like to be depleted. He gets our physical exhaustion. He understands our emotional fatigue and even our spiritual weariness. But you know what I like? Is that seeing Jesus tired doesn't make him weaker. It actually makes him relatable. Because when I think about it like this, I realize he understands physical exhaustion, emotional fatigue, and spiritual weariness. Beth Moore was quoted teaching on the principle of unhurriedness after the Law of Love Bible study that she had done. And she was often referenced as saying something to the effect of, Jesus was never in a hurry. He had a lot to do, but he was never in a rush. And I love that because it makes me realize, wait a minute, even though I have that CVS list, to-do list, right? Jesus had just as many things he was responsible for, but he was never in a hurry. And I have to tell myself time and time, Stacy, slow down, slow down. And on that day, he came to the well because he was thirsty, but he sat down because rest is holy and he was being obedient. Do you allow yourself permission to pause the way Jesus did? And where might God be inviting you to sit down instead of pushing through, especially during this holiday season? This encounter at the well is like an ordinary moment that became holy. And what I mean by that is that wells were ordinary places during biblical times. Wells were community spaces, towns were built around them. They were gathering places. Think about like going into your local grocery store or maybe even to your local coffee shop, right? They were not unusual. People were coming to the well day in and day out. They were coming for water for their livestock. They were coming for water for their personal needs, for their cooking needs and drinking. People that were traveling from town to town would stop by and get refreshment so that they can continue on their travels, much like Jesus did. Okay, so they were normal places, ordinary. But when we look at what John shared in this story, and we think about the fact that this was midday, noon, scripture and commentaries will tell you that that meant it was extremely hot at this time. And so most people would not come to the well at that point in the day. It was not pleasant. It wasn't where you went, and especially not women. You can go back to Genesis 24 and see women were seen drawing water in the morning or evening when it was cooler. So that begs the question, why was this woman even there at noon? And, you know, I think my take on it is that maybe it's because of her story, you know, her reputation. It had shaped her routines. I know that's happened to me in my past. She was likely avoiding people to avoid their judgment, avoid their whispers, just not to have to deal with it, right? And so I can't help but wonder if she wasn't just physically thirsty that day as she approached that well, but maybe she was spiritually dry too. And I'm wondering if you've been there. Maybe you're there now. And so with that in mind, think about what ordinary places or moments in your life might God be using to meet you? Those ordinary moments that turn into holy moments. And are there maybe some routines or patterns shaped by your past or by hurt that God may want to gently heal? And lastly, in what ways might God be inviting you into holy moments that you, my friend, have just been rushing past? I want you to know that I'm not asking you those questions because I want to call something out in your life that I don't take a moment to actually call out on my own as well. And the reason why that I ask it is this: depletion is real. It's real. And the last time I felt depleted, I think it was back like in 2019. And that's when our oldest son, Dylan, he had to spend exactly 40 days in the hospital. And it was a scary time. He was battling for his life. There was so much uncertainty. And I have to be honest, we have experienced sickness before. We had experienced medical procedures and even complications before with him. But it's like those 40 days, they were different. They were physically, emotionally, and spiritually like draining. And we weren't really sure what was happening, if you can, you know, think of it like that. And during his time there, our family of four, a family that had done everything together, we had become these pods of two. And so Dylan and I were at the hospital most of the days, and Jason and our younger son Jackson were at home. Our family was balancing all the things, right? And when your family is split like that, it doesn't come without challenges. And it definitely requires the CVS to-do list, right? There were so many things that had to be accounted for. And what I noticed during that time is that we barely slept. We didn't eat. We ate enough to survive. Our self-care practices went out the window. Our focus was simply on making sure that Dylan survived and that our sweet Jackson was sheltered from as much of the hardship as possible. I mean, if you can even imagine, it's not easy watching anyone fight for their life, but watching your brother fight for his life at the age of 10, that was hard, y'all. So my husband and I were just focused on all these things. And after the 40 days was up and we finally got to come home, my spirit had been in such a deep battle that I was so physically exhausted, I didn't even really realize it. But more than that, I was just like the woman at the well. I was spiritually empty. It was like, no matter the amount of Bible studies, no matter how much journaling, or even the prayer that I did, I couldn't seem to get my cup to fill up. And when we walked through the front door of our home that day, it's like reality kind of hit me. What had been my norm was no longer here. And now I had to get adjusted to something. And I had to get adjusted to it quickly. It was beckoning for my attention. And have you ever like just longed to be in peace so much? Like maybe even just a few minutes at home alone. I'm sure some of the moms go, yeah, hello. Have you ever tried to go to the bathroom by yourself, right? You know, like that, like where you just needed a timeout. And I was so tired of constant commotion and noise. But it all followed me home. And it was there again, beckoning for my attention. So by the time Jason had made it home from work and we had a night nurse come to see if this was something that would help our family, my adrenaline was crashing. And it was like all at once, I was done. I was that vacuum cleaner, right? We had piles of paperwork scattered across our living room floor. Jason, the nurse, and I, we were going over his new care routine. We were going over all these things important. And at some point, if you can get a visual on this, at some point, I stood up, looked at Jason, looked at the nurse, and I said, good night. And that's it. And walked to my bedroom. And friends, I tell you, I slept in such a deep, dead to the world sleep. That was my well moment. I was weary. I was worn out. I was exhausted. The very things that John described to us that Jesus was feeling as he approached the well that day. And this is what I learned as I looked at John 4, as I considered my state of depletion. Rest didn't mean I lacked faith. Rest meant I finally trusted God to hold what I couldn't. There were still all these needs that needed to be taken care of. There was still literally the middle of a conversation, but I had to trust that God would take care of it. That's why as I studied this passage in 2022, something in me shifted. Instead of clinging to that woman's brokenness at the well, I found myself clinging to Jesus's humanity. And so I want to challenge you to do the same. Can you identify a well moment in your life where exhaustion finally caught up with you? And what did you learn about yourself or God during that season? So when we step back into our story and we're considering what Jesus was speaking to the Samaritan woman about, this idea of living water, we have to understand that he wasn't just sharing poetic language with her. In scripture, rabbis often are seen using symbolism to help teach their disciples and their students, right? And the reason for that is because not everyone had access to the written word in this time. We often take for granted the fact that we have written Bibles and we have Bibles on our phones and it's with us all the time. Scripture tells us they were to put it on their heart, meditate about it. It's in their mind. It's written on their heart. It's on their doorpost, all these things. So language was really important in biblical times because it helped people remember the teachings. And so what living water symbolized was this freshness, this flowing, life-giving water, not something that was stagnant or stored up. It was not something you were going to have to come back and refill. And so with that, it's like Jesus is telling her, everything else is going to satisfy you temporarily, but I'm going to satisfy you completely. And that's the heart of the lesson. Living water restores what burnout drains. It fills places that no schedule change you make and no productivity hack that you pick is ever going to fix. And again, we see Jesus doesn't rush the conversation along as she had questions, as she wanted to clarify things. He didn't rush her, and he also didn't shame her. Instead, he said, I know you, I see you, and I have something to offer you. There's always his restoration that comes along with correction. And as he reveals that he's the Messiah, we see something dramatic unfold. Remember I told you, she left the jar of water behind. That very thing that she came to the well for that day, it no longer could satisfy her spirit or her physical needs. Because you have to know that when you encounter the living water, you stop chasing all the temporary fixes. And at that moment, she runs to tell the town, to tell the very people she had been avoiding what she had heard. And because of that, because of her faith, because of her obedience, many believed. Restoration, it is something that always leads to a movement, I feel. It starts with rest, and it starts with leaning into the will of the Father, though. We have to be willing to sit at the well. What wells have you been drawing from to sustain yourself lately? And when you think of those, which of those wells leave you feeling more empty than filled? And then consider, what would it look like for you to receive living water from Jesus instead of those temporary fixes that we tend to reach for? Here's the truth of this teaching that we have to acknowledge, is that we're human. And that means our cups will run dry. When we continue to pour out constantly, especially during busy seasons like the holidays, and we don't intentionally refill, friends, we're going to start drawing from something very unhealthy. And when we draw from unhealthy wells, it looks like approval or busyness, control, comparison, performance, to name a few. Those are not healthy. So we have to look at, what does the Bible tell us? And I like to call these my Bible prescriptions, right? If I go to the Bible, I can always find a prescription for what I'm feeling and what I need, and I can apply it to my life. And I have some for you today. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Psalms 23:3, he restores my soul. In Exodus 20:8, Sabbath wasn't a suggestion, it was a gift. Man was not made for Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for man, right? When we listen to those verses, we have to remember that it says, I have to initiate something. I have to come to Jesus. And it says, all who are weary. It doesn't say all who are awesome, all who have it all together, all who never get tired. It says, come to me, all who are weary. And he will give you rest. He will restore your soul. And Sabbath, my sweet friends, it is a gift from God. It was written into creation from the beginning of time. It is something that God modeled. It is something that Jesus modeled. It is holy. It is not lazy. When we consider Jesus stopping at the well that day, we have to realize that he didn't stop because he was done or exhausted. He stopped because rest is part of obedience. How full or empty does your cup feel right now? You know, we're coming to the end of 2026, and I have some questions for myself, and maybe some of these questions will help you. I'm asking things like, what practices help restore my soul? And which ones simply help me just survive? Consider thinking about how Sabbath could become a rhythm of trust rather than another task on my to-do list, right? Sabbath is something that I need to make an intentional rhythm of my life and see it as a gift. See it as something I practice not out of just obedience and command, but out of just the hope that this is something that God gave to me and it's something that will restore me. So I want to ask you, as you move into the season, what is one intentional step you can take toward rest? And what would it look like for you to sit with Jesus at the well before pouring out again? I want you to know that I am actually choosing to practice what I teach within this podcast. And again, I am going to step away and intentionally practice Sabbath for the rest of the year. So this is going to be the last podcast of 2025. But during our time apart, I hope that you can still use some of the resources that I already have available. You can catch up to podcast episodes on your favorite platforms. You can access resources and stay connected through our website, stacytassenministries.org. And be sure to check out the YouTube channel. There's lots of cool things on there as well. And that will allow us to continue to dive into God's word during our break. But most importantly, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. And my prayer is that your holidays will be filled with joy, that they'll be filled with holy rest and the refreshing presence of Jesus. Again, thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Scripture Adventures. Until next time, keep seeking the wisdom of God like silver and searching for it like hidden treasure.